Come on.
Whether you're a Hog fan, a lover of Southern sports, or just someone who wants to know what's going on in the Premier League of College Athletics, snuggle up close to your radio, computer, or phone, because it's time to hear from ESPN.com's SEC insider, Edward Ashoff, who's here to tell you all you need to know about what's up and who's going down in the SEC.
I'm going to do what I should have done a long time ago. The next producer I hire is going to be an octopus. Because you really do. I mean, in Matt's situation today, you typically will need 7 to 8 arms working at one time.
Matt, he's got foot switches. He's got triggers on his knees like a pedal steel.
Literally right there, he was taking a guy's information so he'd give him some hog tickets.
Right.
He was dialing up Edward Ashoff. Uh-huh. He was listening to us, and he was queuing up some stuff. And then he had to...
drinking a cup of coffee.
And he had to play Edward's song. And he was looking up adult films on his iPad. And the guy had a lot going on.
He was listening to Insane Clown Posse with one headphone as well.
Mm-hmm. And then he was listening to What Had I from Jacob Dylan in the other headphone.
Wallflowers. But yes.
You like that?
I do like that. Mm-hmm. That's my jam.
This is Edward Ashoff's jam, and there's Edward Ashoff on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack hotline. What's up, Edward?
Not much. Loving the banter between you
guys.
Yeah,
there's a lot going on. I don't know if you've ever produced a top-rated radio show or one like this one, but apparently it is. There's a lot going on. So, anyway, how are you? Did you go anywhere last weekend?
I was in Gainesville checking out the greatest first half of college football I've ever seen. And I am ashamed of anyone who thought that first half was sloppy. That first half was magical. I don't understand how anybody didn't see it the same way that I did.
Says Gator graduate. How bad is that offense?
It doesn't matter who was playing in that game. You didn't know what was going to happen when someone snapped the ball. It was intriguing. As bad as that football was, it was to watch. Because you had no clue what was going to happen.
No, but you know, here's the problem, though, is Will Muschamp has no idea what's going to happen when his offense is on the field either. Typically, though, the answer is not very good. So they are bad, and now they've lost their starting quarterback. Just how low can Florida go offensively?
Well, I think that if you're Brent Peace, you make things as simple as possible. And I know a lot of people are putting pressure on Tyler Murphy, and you might as well because he was the backup's backup for years. He sat behind 5 guys who threw more passes than he did coming into the game. For the last 3 years. But the running game has to improve. And Mac Brown seems like he's starting to come along a little bit more. Matt Jones definitely not playing at the level that he was this spring and at the level that people kind of expected him to. But I think that if Florida's offense is going to do anything, this is going to take pressure off the defense, which obviously lost its best player, probably the best player at UF, in Dominic Easley. The running game has to improve, and it has to be that hard-nosed sledgehammer running game that it was last year with Mike Gillisley, who's smaller than all the backs outside of Adam Lane on this team. So I think there's more pressure now in Florida's running game than Tyler Murphy, because what is he really going to do any differently than Jeff Driscoll? I don't think he's going to be a turnover machine, because he really is. He's more of a coach on the field when you talk to guys and in practice. So I think he's going to try and keep hold of the ball as much as possible, not force things. Although he did force some pretty ugly passes against Tennessee at times.
Well, look, I'm a cup half full kind of guy. Let's focus on the positives for them, and I don't want to spend the whole show talking about Florida, but I will give them credit where it's due. Arkansas has the second best rushing defense by the number, 92 yards a game, right behind Florida. And by right behind, I mean like 40 yards behind. Florida's given up 55 yards a game on the ground. That is filthy. And they're doing the job, and you pointed it out. They did a good job in that regard last week as well. So it's been a great year for them defensively, and they're going to have to be the best team probably in the league defensively to win too many games because, yikes, offensively going to be struggling for a while. At the other end of the spectrum, of course, you've got Texas A&M, which has been not very good defensively and extremely good offensively. We just talked to Dave South, the voice of the Texas A&M Aggies. His take on it is that they had a lot of moving parts because of suspensions, injuries, and otherwise, but he feels like now they're sort of balancing out and that they're going to be much better going forward. Do you buy into that?
You know, I do think that for Texas A&M, this is a team that they're getting better defensively, yes, but I want to see them against an SEC team. I want to see them in a smash-mouth situation. And Alabama, I mean, for what everyone's saying about that offense, I do think that it can still be explosive when it needs to be, and it obviously proved it against Texas A&M. But I still think this is a team that's going to rely on its offense. It's going to rely on Johnny Manziel. If Johnny Manziel is making plays, that offense moving the ball, then it's really not going to matter most of the time what that defense does, because they're so good on the offensive side. I think that, yes, against an LSU, against an Ole Miss, who I think can score points, obviously, you're going to need your defense to make stops. But in games where they're not playing a high-octane offense, more of a grinded-out kind of offense, it's an advantage for Texas A&M, because the longer Johnny Manziel sits out there and doesn't play, that's the faster he gets on the field and drives down and scores a touchdown or puts him in a scoring position. So I don't think that grinding out games are really going to hurt this team as much, because that offense moves so quickly. I think it's going to be when they're facing a team that's balanced, like Ole Miss, like LSU, where they're going to find trouble.
Yeah, it's scary, and you look through the numbers here. I mean, 50, they're averaging 50 points a game, you know, over 600 yards a game. It's remarkable. It's going to be scary, but at the same time, it's going to be fun to watch them in person and watch this offense work in person. Now, the weather may be a little bit iffy. I'm not sure how much, if at all, they'll tweak their plan, A, going on the road, and B, in inclement weather. It is the first road game for Texas A&M, and whether or not that's a factor, I don't know. I'm almost positive they won on the road last year at Alabama.
Yeah, the road wasn't an issue for them at all last season. Their only two losses came at home, ironically. So I don't think that's going to be an issue. For Arkansas, it's making big plays. I mean, this offense has to be more consistent than it was last week. And Rutgers did exactly what I thought it would do. It stopped the run, and late, when they could not generate a running game, they had no passing game. So Rutgers is able to come back with big plays on offense. And that's what you're going to expect from Texas A&M all day. They're going to make big plays. Can the defense force turnovers? Can the offense go down the field and score? Field goals aren't going to win. You can't kick field goals against Texas A&M and win unless you have a superior defense, like Florida did last year, like LSU did last year. So I think that Arkansas has to generate turnovers. They have to win the line of scrimmage, obviously, on the defensive side if they're going to have a chance of beating Texas A&M.
So you're saying there is a chance?
I'm saying there's a chance. You never know what could happen.
So like one in a thousand?
It's not looking good. It's not looking good. If you saw our picks, we both had Texas A&M winning by 20-plus points in this game. I don't know how the line is three for this game, but it is.
And that's the thing. The line is, most people are saying it's off, and we have seen a couple of outlets that are saying it's three, and I don't know anybody who would not take that game at three. I don't care if Johnny Manziel is out. That's probably what the line should be. It's weird, and I don't know that there's a betting house on the planet that will take that at 3 points, but we'll see what it shakes out to be. Yeah, because Matt's been looking all over the place for one. In fact, he tried to literally bet his family farm on it. But, yeah, there obviously are a lot of problems with this game for Arkansas, and we'll see how it shakes out. But hopefully the 17 freshmen play like freshmen this weekend. That's going to be one of the rare advantages Arkansas has, because, you know, obviously they got an uphill climb here. You mentioned LSU. Interesting sidebar story, which I know you're familiar with Zach Mettenberger's mother, who works in the Georgia Athletic Office, getting the week off to avoid any kind of uncomfortable situations for either side, her or anybody that works for Georgia. LSU's coming to town. I love the way LSU has played this year. I don't root for LSU, but you got to respect what they've done, and Cameron's done a great job. How do you see this one playing out? It'll be a tough road environment, certainly, I would think, for LSU.
Well, I just wonder if I can get the week off when I go to Oxford. Again, after spurning Ole Miss to go to Florida, she's a lucky woman to get the week off. But I think that this is going to be the game of the week. As much as I like that Ole Miss-Alabama game, I really like this LSU-Georgia game. And, because I'll be there and it's going to be a lot of fun. I think that this is where we're going to learn a lot about both teams. And I thought South Carolina was a game we'd learn more about those two. And we did, but for Georgia, this is the next step. I mean, this is their last big game before they play Florida. And if they win this, I don't know who's going to pick them not to win the East going out. I had South Carolina at the beginning of the year, but this is the only chance I think South Carolina has of getting back, unless Georgia just implodes down the stretch, and I don't see that happening, especially if they win a game like this. If we're going to know what Georgia's defense is going to do throughout the season, it starts here. This is a balanced offense. This is an offense like South Carolina's, with a more explosive passing game because of how well Zach Mettenberger has played. Plus, Jeremy Hill is running on all cylinders. He's a guy who can just break one and just run guys over. I mean, he is like Todd Gurley. He's probably more explosive than Todd Gurley is. So, like any other SEC game, it's going to come down to who wants it more in the trenches. And I like both of these lines. I like LSU's defensive line. I know it's inexperienced. They have a lot of athleticism. They have to generate more of a pass rush. That's something that they need to do. And I talked to Anthony Johnson this week, LSU's defensive tackle, and he said the way to beat Georgia's offensive line is to beat them through the middle. So if they can create bad situations through the middle of the field, that's going to help them on the outside with guys like Jamari Erasco, Landon Barrow coming from the linebacker spot. So I think that's where LSU has to win it. For Georgia, it's can they stop that offense? I think they're going to be able to score some points because of how good the offense is playing. But LSU is a team that forces turnovers. They're extremely athletic. I think there's more pressure on Georgia's defense this week than maybe even more than the Clemson game, because we knew what Clemson was going to do. This is where, okay, if you're Georgia's defense and you want to win the SEC, you got to win this game.
Edward Ashoff, ESPN.com's SEC blogger, joining us. Do you mind, Jeremy? Really? Jeremy's digging into a salad over there. Joining us on the Stickies hotline. An alarming trend developing around the country, including here in the SEC, which is obviously about as football crazy as you can get. Georgia students left 39% of their designated sections over the last four seasons empty. Alabama, even, 32% of student seats unused by students between 2009 and 2012. Do you hear complaints or concerns about this from coaches or administrators from around the league and around the country?
You know, when you talk to coaches and players, they say, we don't pay attention to the stands, and I think that's baloney. I think that they all look and they see that. When I was at the Florida game, and the students didn't fully get there the whole game, and most of the top section wasn't filled until, you know, the second quarter. And you do have to look at a lot of factors, and I don't ever put weather as a factor. I mean, unless it is just pouring down rain, we all know it's going to be hot in the South. I think that's a really bad excuse, even if it's a 12 o'clock game in Ben Hill Griffin Stadium, which I've been to, and it's terrible. But you know what you're getting into. It's a football game in the South. Expect the weather to be bad. I think that the biggest thing is financial. The ticket prices, the prices to get food in the stadium, the concessions and everything. I think that's what it is. And the fact that it's so much easier to watch a game as opposed to going to it now. I mean, TVs are cheaper. HD is amazing. You can flip around and see other things. I think the comfort level is there. You can tailgate outside and watch games. You can throw a party at your house. I honestly think it's more of the financial thing than anything else. And I dog Florida fans, because when I was there, it was packed all the time. And I grew up in Oxford when it was rarely packed, except for the year that Eli almost took Ole Miss to the SEC championship game. But to see what I saw the first couple of years in Florida, I just felt, why wouldn't anybody want to go to these games? And now, you know, I really do think it's more financial. And you have to wonder how that's going to change. Is it going to change with the playoff coming, with more schools, or with schools getting a lot more money coming in? I just wonder. I think that that's the biggest thing right now that kind of pushes students and pushes fans away.
Yeah, and I, of course, students in most cases have the cheapest tickets available inside the stadium. But even with that, again, I think they're choosing other ways to watch the game. And, you know, a lot of those kids want to go have a good time and sit in the stadium. You know, drinking sodas for a lot of college kids isn't necessarily the good time they're looking for. So whether that's right or wrong, it is the reality. And when you're talking about places like Georgia and Alabama having issues with it, I think everybody understands that everybody is having an issue with it in that case. Talked about the LSU-Georgia game. Poor Ole Miss, man. 2 years in a row they got to go to Alabama. That's a pretty crappy scheduling quirk if you're Ole Miss. Tough environment, obviously, but this is an Ole Miss team that has been very impressive in the early going. How do you see that playing out? And some people are calling for not necessarily an upset, but an extremely close game. Do you think Alabama figures out that Ole Miss offense, or do you think they struggle a little bit this week?
I think that you're going to see a little back and forth, and I picked Alabama in this game. These are the types of games that Nick Saban has his players just totally focused. And I know that the process calls for them to be focused against directional schools, national championship games, SEC championship games. But these are the ones. I mean, you saw what they did against LSU last year. Obviously, A&M hit them in the face, but everyone's talking about Ole Miss, the chance for Ole Miss to pull a big upset. And these guys know that. They know that they have to be better on defense. And they were injured last week. I mean, you had a lot of guys that were out, especially in the secondary. They're going to be healthier. But at the same time, this is a game where Ole Miss does have an advantage there with the offense. That read option has been perfect for Bo Wallace. They have Laquon Treadwell. They have Dante Moncrief. If Sanders comes back at wide receiver, Jeff Scott's played well. Evan Ingram is playing well at tight end. That offensive line is playing well. But at the same time, still a game in Tuscaloosa. It's essentially going to be a night game, and I think that you're going to see that offense from Alabama really exploit some of the issues that Ole Miss has. And I'm excited to see the battle between Robert Kendiche and Cyrus Plunge. I mean, these could be the two best athletes on the field at their respective positions, and it's going to be really fun. The winner of that one might be the winner of the game. So I like Alabama. I think that the line is going to play well. I think that the offense is going to be fine. But the defense is probably going to put them in some bad situations at times, especially with that passing game from Ole Miss. But I just have a feeling the fourth quarter is going to come, and Alabama's just going to have a little more juice and force some bad plays for Ole Miss and have an A.J. McCarron-like game-winning drive or just, you know, have to grind it out at the end to win this one.
Last question. We saw last week that none of the good athletes in the state of Florida are going to Florida A&M or Florida International. At least that would be the indication from the scoreboard. Central Florida, though, is getting some quality athletes. They are a 7-point home underdog to South Carolina. Should the Gamecocks be on upset alert this week?
I think so, and I said this from the beginning of the season. You get that bye week to think even more about it or not to think about it at all, and then you have to travel down to Florida. The weather's going to stink. And this is a team that has given South Carolina some issues in the past, obviously not beating them, but we've seen South Carolina play down to its competition. Now you have to go to their house. They beat a bad Penn State team, but it was a big win for them. They scored more than 30 points a game this season. South Carolina's defense has struggled a couple of times, so I think that this is one where you kind of look at it through the day and you're like, man, Central Florida's keeping it close, and I think they will. But at the end of the day, I mean, South Carolina has the talent advantage, and I think they grind this one out. And I really like what Connor Shaw's doing. I like what that offense is doing in general, and I think that's going to be the difference. And you're probably going to see a couple plays from that defense, but I think it's going to be fun. I think that's going to be an exciting game to watch. It's going to be closer than Spurrier wants, but they'll come out with a win, and they'll be happy about it.
Edward, we appreciate it. Have a great weekend, and enjoy your time. You're going to see a good one, I bet, this weekend, so that'll be a lot of fun.
I'm excited. Hopefully I'm one of those celebrity pickers that everybody keeps talking about for this one.
Ooh, that'd be fun. Well, I want you to do me a favor and make sure you count the empty seats for the student section. So get back to me on that.
I don't know if you'll see them for this one. I don't know about that.
But if they don't turn out this week, you're probably not going to get them all year, that's for sure. All right, man. We appreciate it. Thanks.
All right.
That's Edward Ashoff, ESPN.com. 11:29, we are at Landers, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram in Benton, where people are pouring in. They must have heard that it is Jeep Celebration Month. And, I mean, nobody parties, my man, like a Jeep does. So if you're going to celebrate.
Ain't no party like Landers Party.
Look over there. Look at the student section for the Jeeps.
Tell you what.
Turned out.
Literally just packed to the gills.
101% full student section for the Jeeps over here.
That's like Peter Griffin's, or not Peter Griffin, Homer Simpson's body fat. It's 102%.
No doubt. That's exactly right.
Which is a lot of percent.
Beer. We'll take a timeout. Speaking of people who are, you know, putting on a few pounds. Look, if you're going to put a few pounds on, you want to do it the right way, like a Crazy Mike.
Come on.
So the other day, I almost feel bad saying this to you.
Tell me.
But after the Little Rock Touchdown Club on Monday, I took Phil Elson and Matt Harris, one of our nine Matts at the station, to Crazy Mike's for lunch.
Sure.
There was a basket of hush puppies, crawfish bisque. There was a crawfish po' boy sandwich. There was a catfish and shrimp platter. There was a buffalo chicken sandwich that I consumed. It was spectacular. And there was also a whole basket of wings, garlic parmesan, and Thai chili wings. So we had what we call a Crazy Mike smorgasbord. It was pretty impressive.
Pound sign, smorgasbord.
That's it. So the next time we do that, you got to get in on it.
I'll come off.
In fact, I'd like to do
threaten me with a good time.
I'd like to take all our Matts out for a lunch someday. That'd be fun. You, Matty J.,
come on.
Matty T.
Right.
Matty H,
mm-hmm.
and any other, and Matty Couch.
Matty Couch.
My gosh, we got a lot of Matts.
Just so you know, everybody around the house calls me Stretch, so if that helps.
Well, not when you're standing to Matt Jones, they wouldn't.
That is true.
Yes, I'm here
but
for you.
They call him Matt Jones. He doesn't really need a nickname.
Well, I made up my own sandwich at Crazy Mike's, and Phil also made up his own hush puppy the other day. He took a hush puppy, put Tabasco, crawfish bisque, and the garlic, the Parmesan and garlic and butter from the from the wings into a, and he said, slam bam.
Is that made him want to slap his
He
mama?
Said slam-a-ram-a-roo in honor of his old buddy R.J. Hawk. Amazing. 11:31, Landers Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Get down here, part of the Jeep celebration. Hey, look, if you want to get a Razorback Red Challenger, they got those too. It's got the RT on the side, which means what?
R.T. It means it's a RT trim package.
Mm-hmm.
It probably has a Hemi in it.
Mm-hmm. At least one.
At least it's at least one Hemi.
It say right on the top that it's got a Hemi in it.
You know, whenever you see the green valve stem covers like that, you know what that means?
No.
The tires have nitrogen in them.
Is that right?
Yep.
What for?
It's more stable than air.
Is that right?
Yeah.